Over the last couple of weeks, we've been taking a closer look at several misfits found within the pages of the Bible and those within the church. Today, we're joined in studio by a panel of misfits who have survived everything from ministerial typecasting to full-blown religious abuse. And they're going to talk about it right now. Well, welcome everybody back to the Skywatch Television Studios. I'm Joe Horn, and we continue our series on the very unique book, Misfits. And again, put this up on the screen, gentlemen. I want to read you the subtitle, Learning from Our Inner Outcast and How It Can Empower Us to Find Our Destiny. If you missed last week's program and the week before, please go back to the archives. We've covered a lot of incredible ground. We talked about how Moses was a misfit and God using him to do all of these incredible things. We've talked about some of us on panel, Nita, you know, feeling as a misfit as a pastor's wife 30 years ago and this dream to pursue building a place where there's a pasture and there are horses, something therapeutic, but God won't give her all the answers until towards the end of that journey, which has now manifested in Whispering Ponies Ranch, a therapeutic place where children who have been victimized by sex trafficking and abusive homes come for rest and reprieve, rehabilitation, the teaching of Jesus. Sometimes throughout our journey as we navigate life, we're asking God for these downloads, Lord, show me what is my talent, what is my calling. And he's saying, be patient, be obedient, and continue doing what it is you're doing now because I'm preparing you for what is next, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I want to dive right in because we are always at a disadvantage when it comes to time with these short-form episodes. Allie, we're talking about misfits. In your view, you believe you grew up as kind of a misfit. Mm-hmm. For those just joining the series, maybe missed last week, very quickly, what is a misfit and why did you identify as a misfit growing up?
What is a misfit? It's basically someone who either doesn't fit in or feels they don't fit in. Now, I believe, and the book states, that most people who perceive themselves to be misfits, the problem is actually in their head, and they look at themselves and they think, well, I don't belong because of this, or I don't fit in because of that. And the truth is, if we could just get over that narrative and begin to insert ourselves into the crowds around us that we see, we'd find that most of the other people that we previously thought fit in feel just as out of place as we do, or once did, and have finally gotten over it because they took the courageous act of stepping out and just finding a place to belong. As far as me, anybody who doesn't know, I am the daughter of Tom and Nita Horn, and one of the biggest questions I got since I've been writing is, what was it like growing up in Tom and Nita Horn's household? And so I did actually reflect on this some. There's, for you curious people, there's some of that in the book. And even one moment where I wrote about Tom in his early pastoral years, I knew he was going to make me cut this from the book, and he actually let me keep it. So
you'll
know it when you get there. I'm not even going to spoil it on TV.
But, well, no, you can't say that and then not tell us. Come on.
Okay, I'm just going to say his first pastor suit, he ordered two. They were maroon and hunter green, and they were bells. I'm telling you, these were swanky
70s. Man. Polyester?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so I wrote all about that in the book.
He was in the zone.
He was ready to preach and take that great good news of the Great Commission into all the world, actually. But growing up a pastor's kid, first of all, there's this, you want to say it's unspoken, but it actually is sometimes spoken.
It's spoken.
You already know where I'm going with this.
I do. Go ahead.
This idea that the pastor's the perfect man, and then the pastor's wife is the perfect wife. And together, they have the perfect children, and their house is always perfectly clean, and the dinners are always perfectly homemade. Like, whatever happens with the pastor, you have to be this role model for not even the congregation, but the entire society around your church.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, you're surrounded by all these, and you know this one.
Hey, I want you to know, I worked overtime to disprove that. I worked very hard at my craft of being in trouble constantly and in the hallways at school. And
which is why you know all too well where I'm going next with this. And this is, there are always these other people, you know, deacons in the church and ushers and the girls who teach the Sunday school, whatever. And for some reason, they also think it's their job to hold you to their standards. Mm. And even if they mean well, you end up with all these people always telling you what you're doing that's not good enough.
Yep.
And You grow up with this idea, and this didn't come from my parents. My parents were, thankfully, they were really encouraging and they were always building us up. But it's very easy to start to become a people pleaser when every time you walk into a room, you know, that lady expects you not to talk. So don't talk unless you're spoken to.
Right.
That guy thinks children are here to serve. So if anybody says they need a drink of water, you better get up and go, I'll get that. You know, you get to where you just become whatever you think people want you to be.
Yeah.
Yep. And you disconnect from your own identity because you're performing every moment.
Yep.
And now, you know, when I went into, and I talk much more about this in the book, I'm not going to get into it now, but I did some modeling because modeling schools were all the rage when I was a teenager and ended up being always told I was too fat. And pretty much it basically...
Not by family. These are the people coaching you.
No, by the people in the industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the industry wants people who are about a size 0 or a 2, or at least they did back in my day. And I was about a size 6 or an 8, and I was about 5'8". So I was pretty slender by most people's standards, but it was never good enough. And when you model, you walk into a room. It's an audition that back then was openly called a cattle call. And you're in a room with maybe 50 to 500 other girls, and they start comparing you. So you learn right away, I have to compare myself to everybody in this room.
Yep.
And if I'm not completely flawless by everybody else's standards, I don't make this cut. And guess what? I never made the cut. But... my point is, you get to this place where you're always performing, you're trying to be perfect. Everything within my own self-narrative was, I'm not good enough, I should hide, I should probably hide, and also, by the way, I should hide. And I just started, you know, kind of like, honestly, the toys in the book, you know, the nesting dolls, where we hide under these layers of other things, because the inner us isn't presentable. And I'm going to say, how many people out there feel that way? This is my narrative, but I know I'm speaking for a lot of men and women, but I at least know I'm speaking for a lot of women. When I say we look at ourselves and we have this lens of grace that we see other people with.
Yep.
Everybody else is beautiful in their own way.
Yeah.
I'm never pretty enough. Everybody else has an excuse for their house to be messy. Mine better be perfect.
Right.
Everybody else, but not me. We do this to ourselves. And
absolutely.
So I grew up kind of with that. And God has delivered me from so much of that over the years of showing me not only who I am, but whose I am. And showing me that these unique moments of me being this strange person that didn't fit in anywhere else, if I could learn to grab that and harness it and say, this is part of me. Where does it go in you, God?
Yes.
Then it becomes this moment where a door opens and I see that my failures are things that can relate to other people.
Yep.
And my shortcomings are things that make me relatable. And everything about me that doesn't measure up is something that other people need to know
that's
is
it.
There. Because we're all in this together and there's none of us perfect.
Absolutely.
And you ladies looking at everybody else, comparing yourself, stop. Stop it now. There's no good that can come from that. And it's not even true. So don't.
Right.
Well, and
that's all
Joe,
I had to say.
And Joe, let me just say this real quickly. We just launched the brand new all-female program called Simply His.
Yeah.
And the feedback that we're already getting from people is that they loved it because the girls are keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
They're down to earth. They're relatable, right?
Yeah.
And Allie said that it was the deacons and people in the church. Well, Nita can tell you it goes higher than that. It's also the district officials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we went in for me to get my credentials, Nita could tell you the story of what the district assemblies of God officials told her role had to be as a pastor's wife, right?
Right.
You're wanting me to go there?
Sure.
Yeah, go there.
Okay, so this is, I'm sure I want to say they probably meant well, but this was a whole man panel. I was the only female there, married to the person there to get his license. And after they interviewed him, and he answered all the correct questions, now it was my turn. I did not know I also would be a part of that little interrogation or well, that's how I felt. And so
that process.
Process, thank you. Anyway. So they matter of factly told me that very much what Allie says, okay, so now you realize that as a pastor's wife, you have to have your house in order. Because if people come and visit your parish, they're gonna judge your husband's ministry based on how you keep house. Then they told me, oh, and that goes for your kids too. They have to be well-behaved. There can't, you know, just on and went down the list. And I was like, thought I was doing really good because I'm supporting my husband. We're there together. I'm with him. I don't give him any guff. I don't back talk. I'm submissive. But then when I got there and they started telling me all of these other criteria, it blew me away so much that I did a Charlie in the box. I went right into this little box And I didn't want to come out because my name wasn't Jack. I'm Nita, and I'm not, I didn't know what to do with that information for the longest time.
They had also told you not to be real good friends with anybody in the church and not to confide.
Yes, I'm so
sorry. You were isolated in that way as well.
Exactly. They told me that was another thing. They told me I couldn't have friends because I would make the other women in the church jealous and therefore create troubles for my husband.
I can't even comprehend this kind of instruction.
I know that they probably meant well.
Be seen but not
heard.
Make sure you don't make friends. Because,
oh, my gosh.
What is this?
Well, that's the whole idea is, though, that that's what religion does. Religion, if you're not already feeling like a misfit, religion's going to take care of that.
Right. It's true.
And it is the exact opposite of Jesus saying, I came to give you life and life
Absolutely.
More abundantly.
Yeah. Let me tell you one thing. I just want to say this. If you're out there and you're listening and you're in a ministry setting of any kind, or maybe you're in the audience right now wondering where your future is going to go, don't listen to those people who put you in a Charlie in the box.
Yeah.
Be Charlie. If you're in
That's
a box,
right.
be Charlie, because Charlie was wonderful.
Yeah.
He was happy. He was fun. And want to know something that Charlie did? He set license for other various things to pop out of a box. There's like all kinds of little things that pop out. There's little doggies that pop out. There's little elephants that pop out. Because I don't ever listen. Don't fall for that lie that says you have to live right in this little box and be that. It has taken me a lifetime to undo the damage that hit me that first few weeks.
And the point that you are making, Nita, is God knew me in my mother's womb.
Yes.
I am mysteriously and wonderfully made.
Yep.
Every person that is born has a mission from God to be exactly who they are, be the best them they can be as he works through them to take the gospel into our communities.
But this is where the spiritual warfare component comes in.
Yes.
Because we buy into this lie, and especially if it comes from within the church, because we believe that we're doing the Christian thing because they said we have to do all these things perfectly or whatever. It's a mental kind of bondage that keeps us from ever finding our destiny in God and our calling in God. And so the thing that we have to do is remember, and it's in the book, that the scriptural ways we free our mind to seek who am I in the eyes of my Creator, the only one who was there, who watched me knitted in my mother's womb, who watched me in the deepest and most secret places of the universe be formed, who knew my identity, my calling, my destiny, my psychology,
That's
the good. Way I would interact with those people around me, who knew everything about me and left some things that were flawed. Because guess why? You need them.
Yeah.
You need those to glorify him so that he can rescue you from those things.
Good.
And you need those things to be relatable. And so he's the one who created you. Don't listen to that. It is a spiritual bondage. Understand it, see it for what it is, and then read this book and understand how to combat that bondage, because honesty and truth about who we are and finding our identity in him is the only way to bypass all of this bondage and get into who are you really with God and what is your destiny in his kingdom.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's good. Yep. I love my preacher daughters.
Yes. I know. Allie was on it, and Tom and I exchanged this glance like, come on, Allie. Oh, that's it. Preach it. I want to tell you guys, you know, this is a classic example of don't judge a book by its cover. I said it last week and the week before. Misfits, you may be looking at this, and we furnished it with kind of a holiday theme, but it's a deadly serious book.
Yes.
With a lot of meaty theology and a lot of really important discussion on the status of the church today is also those that are seeking God's will for their life and trying to find where they're placed in his kingdom. This book will help you. It will roll back a bit of that cloud and to help you see very clearly some of the steps necessary for finding what it is that God has charged you to do. Before we run out of time, Tom, I just want to take a minute. So not only are you going to receive the book Misfits, but Tom, this book, The Christmas Classics, we talked about it briefly last week, but this book has 14 Christmas classics. Well, Why the Chimes Rang, The Shepherd's Story, A Christmas Carol. Also, the book Ebenezer, The Final Years of Scrooge, which picks up right where the last Ebenezer Scrooge story left off. This is by Donna Howell.
But in particular, from an even more kind of Christian worldview, if you will.
But also in the package, the newest CD by yours truly. In a previous life, music was very important to us. We used to headline in Portland, played with former members of the Steve Miller Band and with C.C. James, lead guitar player for a long time, and put this out very robustly for your consumption. In the package, the brand new 110 ebook collection with Kindles, PDFs, ebooks, and finally, from the archives, Teens rock the entire series, the perfect stocking stuffer for somebody in your family that's at that coming of age where they need good, solid biblical instruction. We're going to show you how you can get this package. Don't go away.
With the holiday season here, it's crucial that we all remember the true reason for the season. Now you can uncover valuable truths about Christ's kingdom while awaiting His imminent return. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the largest holiday giveaway of the year, the Misfits Grand Giveaway. With so many in the body of Christ experiencing seasons of loneliness, insecurity, doubts about their God-given purpose, or feel like out-of-place misfits in the kingdom of God, the time for change is now. In their new book, Misfits, the ladies of Simply His delve into the vital spiritual realities and theological principles that demonstrate how these discouraging sentiments are not unique to you, but may in fact be indicators that you're on the verge of a spiritual breakthrough. In Misfits, you will learn surprisingly simple but life-changing biblical information that will empower you to discover your untapped potential, to find your God-ordained calling, and to embrace your destiny. Also included in this incredible holiday giveaway is Donna Howell's thrilling sequel to the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, entitled Ebenezer, where she answers what was left unaddressed at the end of the Dickens novel, such as, whatever becomes of Tiny Tim? And what happens when people from all over London witness the change in Ebenezer and learn that the motivation behind all of his transformation began with what they believed to be ghostly visitations? Ebenezer is an instant holiday classic. You'll also receive the never-before-released collection, Christmas Classics, a beautiful volume of 9 full books with 14 stories total, all celebrating Christmas. These classic narratives will warm your heart and inspire you this holiday season, featuring titles in their entirety like A Christmas Carol, The Shepherd Story, The Shepherd Who Didn't Go, The Gift of the Magi, The Other Wise Man, and several more. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive the new Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on DataDisc. Now, for the first time ever, this must-have assortment features 110 of the most information-packed best-selling books in Defender history. These full-length books are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on Kindle, EPUB, PDF, and other handheld electronic devices. Give this collection as the ultimate gift to somebody you know this holiday season, or take them with you wherever you go. Valued at over $1,500 all by itself. You'll also receive directly from the Skywatch TV archive the complete Teens Rock collection on DVD. Join Joe Horn and his talented group of young panelists as they discuss important issues facing today's modern youth culture. Featuring bonus interviews with musicians Alicia and Whitney as they perform their original songs, So Much More, and Try Kneeling. And finally, included in the Misfits Grand Giveaway, Joe Horn's new CD, This Time Around, an anthology over 20 years in the making, featuring the entire Horn family performing hit singles like Long Drive. Talk to Jesus.
So let your heart light on fire for the one true Messiah. Talk to Jesus. Yeah.
This Time Around.
This Time Around. Yeah. It's not about my spotted record. Crying about the man I want to be.
And so many more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $1,600. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This is the largest giveaway of the year, just in time for the holiday gift-giving season, and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Misfits Grand Giveaway, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. You know, someday, if you're at home, you've got to make it to the panel. We are having too much fun in here, are we?
Yes.
I mean, you guys aren't getting to see during the break. It's just, it's too much fun. And man, we need some fun here and there. Donna, we have so much to cover. Let's get right back on it. As your sibling, I grew up, and I know that this is true. Your grappling match, if it's fair to frame it this way, your grappling match with your calling. Mm-hmm. I don't want to describe her as disobedient, but there was absolutely a, Lord, please, just this cannot be. I want to be in the shadows. Let me support ministry from the shadows. Let me be behind the curtain and pull it back for other people, right? And it was a real process of prayer. I mean, Donna, did not even want to pray in front of other people at church. If you said, hey, Donna, do you want to lead us in a word of prayer? Yes. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, don't do it, right? If you know her, you don't do that. Put her on the spot. Today, the Donna that is sitting before us is not the one that I grew up with.
Yeah.
This scared, reluctant, Lord, send somebody else. This is just not the same person. And we talked about last week's episode a little bit about, you know, you being the appendix of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and the appendix analogy being that, you know, at the time your understanding was the appendix didn't really have a function and it
didn't
hides in
anything.
The background,
right?
Then later on in life you learn that the appendix is actually pretty functional at removing bacteria. It's very important to the body. And so you got what you asked for. Lord, let me be the appendix. And then he puts you right in the middle of everything. But in the book, you call yourself the bearded lady. What in the world is that about?
It was the most radical moment of my life, the moment where I was like, there is no doubt about it that that is the Holy Spirit talking. Now, theological disclaimer here, God doesn't go around calling people circus freaks or bearded ladies, but in context of The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman, there's this whole, you know, company of circus freaks. And I was watching this movie in theaters, first time I had seen it, and the Holy Spirit from the credits, the beginning credits, whispers, pay attention, I got something to show you. So I'm like, okay, he's going to show me something. This is cool. You know, popcorn, throwing it back. And there's this moment, of course, where Hugh Jackman is knocking on the door of the gentleman who turned out to be General Tom Thumb. And he says, he basically comes in and says, I need you to be in my show. And the smaller gentleman says, people will laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're laughing anyway. You may as well get paid for it. And then he slams a door in his face. And Hugh Jackman goes, okay, obviously, I have to approach this differently.
Yeah.
And he gets down on his knees, and the door opens up, and he says, I see a white steed. And it's, you know, triumphantly going across the stage. And when people see you, they won't laugh. They'll salute.
Mm.
And this moment, I was like, that's what it is. That's what God wanted me to see. Because when you consider the early church of misfits, right, you've got all these ragtag. I mean, look at the 12 guys that Jesus picked. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but they are not theologians.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. These are not scholars.
Right. Yeah.
They're fishermen. And see, here's the thing about the church of the early freaks. If I might use that analogy only as it relates to the Hugh Jackman film, the early church of ragtag misfits or freaks, you would never see a tax collector at the same table,
right,
as a zealot. But oh man, 15 minutes in the presence of Jesus, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I get it, Lord, I get it. You wanted me to see that only in the P.T. Barnum circus do the freaks become the heroes. They have a home there. This is great. This is my church analogy. Beautiful as that was, it's not exactly what he wanted me to see, even though that has become a part of the testimony that is beautiful. So I'm sitting there, and the bearded lady shows up, and God says, watch her. And I'm like, oh, I'm one of the freaks too? I'm all excited. I get to be one of the characters in this movie that I already loved, by the way. First time ever seeing it, I was all excited. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit, am I one of the freaks? And he goes, you're the biggest one. And I was like, okay, well, oh, hey, I can own that, right? Because I'm the appendix. I'll own it. There's this moment where she's standing and he's getting ready to pull back the curtain. And I'm telling you, Joe, it played out exactly the way that it did in my life right before my first, one of my big moments on the Jim Baker show, where I'm the bearded lady standing there and she doesn't want to go out. She's telling Hugh Jackman character, I don't want to go out there.
Hmm.
And he goes, they love you, but they just don't know it yet. And so she obediently goes out there and she starts seeing people are accepting her for this freak thing that she's called to do. A few scenes later, he has this snobbery thing going on and he doesn't want the bearded lady to be a part of his little hobnobbing among the elites. So he slams the door in her face. And
right.
I'm sitting there going, because, I mean, by this time I'd have every single emotion up, down, even funny moments where I'm sitting there going, okay, Lord, I'm watching the bearded lady. What if she quits the circus? Does that mean I'm supposed to do something about quitting the organized church? What's she going to do? What if she gets stabbed in an alleyway? Oh, my gosh, what if she gets stabbed in an alleyway? Like, right, there's these moments, and I'm just connecting to the freak. I'm the freak. In this moment, when the door gets slammed in her face, the organized religion got slammed in her face, right? She walks right through that door, and she leads every single freak behind her, and she walks in and sings the song, This Is Me. And if you haven't heard that song, YouTube it, Google it. The lyrics are so powerful. The statement she makes in that song is absolutely, yes, I am broken, I am bruised, but I am who I am meant to be. This is me. And then she marches straight through that crowd, doing the punchiest, most crisp choreography you've ever seen. She's leading the freaks, and she's like, put me down, I dare you.
Right?
And what happens next? All of the freaks behind her find their identity in society because one person said, not in my town. I won't be put down. I loved that in this moment. So you guys are all talking about, you know, the family communication that we grew up in. That's my story too. That's the way I grew up. And the religious abuse, we don't have time to get into, but the religious abuse and the spirit of religion, as Tom said, was so thick all the time.
Yeah.
Putting me down all the time, telling me that I have to wear makeup or else I'm not anointed of God. And then when I wear makeup, telling me that I am worldly. I mean, you can't win for losing. It was a constant in my face, and I was a misfit. My prayer to God was, God, I'm a freak. And then he let me see Greatest Showman, and he said, yes, you are. And I had to march my little hiney out of that theater and go, okay, I'll do it. And I have a very hard time getting through that testimony because I'm the freak. But watch me freak out, right?
I think I'd like to jump in if it's okay. There is one thing that we do clarify in the book, and just in case anybody is wondering, I want to make sure that this is clear. There is a difference also in embracing your identity and in tolerating sin. And the example that we use in the book is you know, theft. Let's say that somebody has really, really sneaky body language and they're able to slip things into their pocket, or they can kind of duck in and out of buildings without being seen. A person can look at that and say, oh, she's really good at theft. That doesn't mean that her God-given identity is now she needs to go be a thief. Like, the Bible's very clear, don't steal. That's not, that's one of the Ten Commandments, speaking of Moses. We got that message from him, too. So when we talk about embracing who we are, we're talking about finding your destiny in God and embracing what he created you to be and your unique kind of ministry. But if it doesn't align with Scripture, you're still looking for that.
Yeah.
You know, it does need to align with Scripture. God would not call you to do something that contradicts his own word. And so the idea of embracing sin and following your destiny, it's very easy to confuse these two things because we do become very passionate about the sins that we love, right? I mean, that's a human nature thing.
Yeah.
And it's human nature. But you do need to be very wary that in following that destiny that you are making sure that it's what God is truly calling you to do and not a trick from the enemy. And what's the way to do that? Back to the same drum Donna and I beat all the time. Read your Bible.
Right? Absolutely.
Amen. Never enough time, huh? As we wrap up this incredible holiday series on the book Misfits, we want to remind you to take advantage of this amazing special offer and the largest giveaway of the year. Visit us at theskywatchtvstore.com for details. For everybody in the studio and everybody on panel, thanks again for being here. I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.